Good morning. Man, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to fellowship with one another. And we all look like we're in a good fellowshipping mood today. Amen? Hey, look around. Give somebody a wave and a smile that says, I love you and I am so glad to have you on board as part of the family of God today as we worship in spirit and in truth. And I like how y'all just did that. I could see y'all were waving to the choir. I know sometimes they feel a little bit left out. So I'm glad you gave them a big wave. But if you're part of our online audience this morning, again, we thank you for joining us. Be sure to say hello to our Dr. John Cazito, your online voice with Central Baptist Church this morning and just about each and every Sunday morning. So if you have any questions, be sure to ask. Dr. Cazito can get you the answers that you need. So thank you for joining us and taking that time and opportunity today as well. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time this morning. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you are God and we are not. Lord, we realize that as we have come into this place today, often we do so with many, many things pressing on all sides of our lives. But Father, today I pray that you will truly help us be free from distraction in your house today, that we might truly hear from your word. We know that your spirit has a message for each of us, and I pray that we will be attentive. Lord, I just pray you would bind Satan, that he may not be anywhere near this place today, and that your spirit may be heard clearly. So Father, right now, in each and every aspect of what we do in the worship service today, Lord, whether it's coming to you in prayer, may it not be lip service. Lord, whether it's singing, may it not be out of vain repetition, but Lord, may our voices come from our hearts today as we lift up song and worship to you. Father, as we give today a true act of worship, I pray that we might be found faithful to your word in doing so. And then, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do this thing called life together as a body of Christ called Central Baptist Church. So bless our time as only you can today, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we come to this time, once again, this is the time of the year where we collect our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Most folks have heard about Annie, but that is our convention-wide offering where all the Southern Baptist churches across the world actually take this time of the year to essentially give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And what that does, that actually funds our North American Mission Board missionaries to keep them on the field. Now, North American missions, obviously, that's pretty self-explanatory. Those are our missionaries that we have in the United States, Canada, as well as Mexico. Now, some of you, just a little quick history lesson, if you don't know, around December is when we take the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and that is for international missions, and that's anywhere outside of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And 100% of what you give to this particular offering is sent to North American Mission Board, and that is used to keep those missionaries on the field. That way they don't have to stop their ministries and come home and do what's called deputation or go around trying to get support from all the different churches. All the SBC churches support them in their ministry. I've talked to essentially missionaries outside, and a lot of them will say, you know what, we envy the North American missionaries because they have what they need. They have the resources they need, and they don't have to leave and come back home. So that means you and me, we're all a part of that. I believe our goal this year is $7,000. We will be taking this offering over the next couple of weeks. If the Lord so leads you to give, you can take one of those envelopes. Maybe you'll see them in the back of your pew. If not, you can receive one from one of the greeters back there in the, I call it vestibule because I'm a country boy, but the narthex back there, narthex, vestibule, whatever one you want to call it. And you can just write on that. You can write Annie Armstrong. You can write essentially the Easter offering, whatever you want to put on that. We will make sure 100% of that goes to support our North American mission offering that we call the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And so that you get a little idea about how things roll, and so you get a chance to see some faces. We like to put some faces, even with some names. We like to even give you some names because oftentimes people say, well, sometimes we feel disconnected when we support missions this way. So that's why we like to give you these introductions through video. So here is one of our North American mission missionaries, and I'll tell you who they are here in just a minute. That's Joshua and Brittany Brown of Gospel Deployment. Go ahead and start that video up, Travis.
When we first came, we knew that God was calling us to church planting.
But God called us to a place where there was nothing happening. And along the way, yeah. I didn't see all of those little bitty details that God was doing. I couldn't make the whole story. We live in Langley, BC, British Columbia in Canada.
People from all over the world who have come to Vancouver move out to Langley.
Which is one of the reasons why we fit in so well. I grew up in South Korea, I grew up in Japan.
I grew up in Guinea, which is a country in West Africa.
So many people from different parts of the world come here with that same story.
So growing up overseas, we were able to connect with them. All the young families are moving out here. And we had kids. We had no idea how many people we were going to meet because we met at the playground. Now we have ministry teams. We have community groups meeting in homes. And we've got lay people leading the Bible studies. So people are participating. People are a part of this church. And we see that God has done what he said he would.
And part of that was through the churches that gave to the Annie Armstrong East Strong.
It's all
like, I had nothing. I knew no one.
Yeah.
Except for like to find out later that there's all these churches that are giving to the Annie Armstrong team to make me being here physically possible. Like I can be there because of them. And they don't even know me.
So when we came, we weren't alone. It's only been the sovereign unfolding plan of God.
Yeah. This is the story that God planned out for us all.
Good morning. I was thinking as Christian and Lauren are telling the wondrous story in BC, we're going to sing this today. This is a hymn we haven't sung since I've been here, but it's a great old hymn of the faith. And then we'll be singing a song, our special. Really hope that you'll be singing along with us. The words will be on the screen. What a wonderful name it is. Please stand as we sing 537. I will sing the wondrous story.
Oh, Jesus.
you for singing. Now we sing Spirit of the Living God, 244.
Today, as we head into the resurrection that we will celebrate in a couple weeks, known as Easter, I know all of us, I hope, are getting excited for that particular time because, boy, what a great, great opportunity for God's people to be able to come together and celebrate that resurrection. But we always like to look at the components and look at the things that were taking place heading into that resurrection. So if you've got your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Luke 22 today. Now, you got to remember that Jesus has spent some 33 years on earth, and he's spent the last, a little over 3 years with his disciples, and he was trying all along to be able to teach them what was going on, to help them to understand what was going to take place when it came down to the resurrection. The crucifixion would not be the end. Too many times we like to talk about the crucifixion, but we leave out the most critical element of the crucifixion, which is the resurrection. But you see, without the resurrection, there would be no debt paid for salvation. Death, sin, and hell would not be conquered without the resurrection. So when we think about the fact that on that third day, Jesus came out of that tomb, that brought victory to each and every one of us. Now there has been a debt paid for the sins of each and every one of us that is eternal, once for one and all. Now, I love when I think about the disciples. Every time I think about this particular one, I just laugh because he reminds me so much of, well, me and you and other people. But that's Peter. Y'all, how many of y'all can kind of relate with Peter? You've heard his stories in different ways. I always said Peter was the guy who, would always kind of open his mouth really, really quick. They saw Jesus out on the water. Peter was the one who said, "Lord, if that's you, let me come out there to you." Sometimes I'm wondering if he didn't maybe want to look back to his brothers in the boat and say, "Maybe I didn't think this all the way through." Because most people just can't walk on water. But yet the Lord provided in that particular situation a miracle for that day. But this is actually heading. Jesus is trying to get his disciples prepared for the fact that the crucifixion and the resurrection was going to be forthcoming. And we know that there were some interesting things that took place along the way as he got his disciples together, and as they took that time and as they were gathered around for the Last Supper, Everybody started, you know, having these, not everybody, but I know at least Peter was the guy who was like, Lord, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your man. I got you six, no matter what happens. Because remember what Jesus told him. Jesus had told the disciples, one of you is going to betray me. He's beginning to tell them what's going to take place once he is taken into custody. And Peter's going, oh, look, man, not me. Yeah, everybody else, rest of these guys may take off. The rest of these guys may hit the road, but I'll be there for you. Now, a lot of us already know what's going to take place, but there's a couple things I want you to understand about Peter as well as we go forward. First of all, I want us to understand that there was a prediction. Look with me, if you would, Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning with verse 31. And we're just going to take these two verses to start with, but it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Think about that for just a minute. You know, notice what he said. He's telling Peter, he's saying, Satan has asked for you. I always like to sit back and think about the fact that you and I need to understand that everything, as a believer, everything that happens in our life on the demonic side, as it were. Now, like I said, a Christian person cannot be possessed by a demon because we're already possessed by the Holy Spirit. But you can certainly be oppressed by them. Amen? Satan don't like you. He likes to try to hold you back from every opportunity that you may have to be what God wants you to be. He probably did it this morning for a lot of us. How many of y'all's bed was more comfortable this morning than it was the other 6 days of this week? I don't know about yours, but mine was. You know, then you'll get in these little, you'll get in a tiffet with someone. You know, you will hit the craziest traffic on Sunday morning on your way to church. I am notorious for finding somebody in the 70-mile-an-hour zone that likes to drive 50 side by side with each other, blocking both lanes. I was about to pass them on the shoulder. But then I thought, like I said, they'd follow me and they'd follow me and I'd turn right into Central Baptist Church. Wouldn't be a real good testimony along the way with that. But Satan, folks, is asking, not only what did he ask the Lord, I want Peter. I want to put him through the mill. Notice what he said, that he may be sifted as wheat. Satan wants to do the same thing to you and I. He wants to destroy our testimony. Listen, even as believers, I'm a believer. Satan knows that he cannot have me. My salvation is secured. But what he does, he wants to make my life, make God look so bad that nobody wants to have anything to do with him. And he comes at you three ways, hard, fast, and continuously, right? That's what he likes to do. But he says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you. And I like what he said. He didn't say, I told him no. He didn't say, I told him yes. But he said, this is what the Lord's answer, verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I don't know about you, but if I was in Peter's shoes, that's not exactly the answer I would want when somebody told me Satan is getting ready to sift me. But you see, you got to understand what Peter's attitude was at the time. Peter's attitude was, I got this. Lord, everybody else might leave you, not me. I am steady, brother. I am through and through. So during the Last Supper, Jesus foretold that Peter would deny him. Not only would Peter deny him, but he would deny him how many times? Three times in what span of time? Before the rooster would crow. He said, Peter, not only are you going to deny me, you're going to deny me three times, and not only are you going to deny me three times, you're going to do it before the rooster crows in the morning. Now, I always like to say this. I mean, we're dealing with spiritual things here as well, but if somebody told me something like that, I'd sit there and I'd go lock myself in a cave or something until the rooster crowed just to prove them wrong. How about you? I'm like, okay, you think so? I am not going to do that. I am not going to deny you, Lord. I will go stick my head in the sand like, and I won't talk to anybody. I won't do anything just to prove them wrong. But listen, you can't prove God wrong. Remember how adamant Peter was? How many times are we so adamant in our Christian walk that we got this or, Lord, I won't do that, and then we always find ourselves in that situation? See, I love that verse because when we look at something, this ought to really help us too when it comes to us judging somebody because what is it that the Bible says? But by the grace of God go I. I can't tell you how many times people had said, I'll never be there, and they turned out being right there. So we see the prediction. Jesus predicted what was going to take place. And then what happened was we see that Jesus winds up being arrested in the garden. We know it happened exactly as Jesus said that it would. They're there, and this crowd comes up. Judas is leading the way, and we know that Judas identifies Jesus by giving him a kiss of greeting. And then the soldiers are there, and they want to take him into custody. Look with me, if you would, at verse 54. It's interesting what takes place. Let me go up a little bit before verse 54, just mainly because as we get into the situation of the arrest, we need to see what Peter did. Remember, Peter, Mr. I'll never leave you, at the time of the betrayal, Peter was the one who took a sword and cut off the ear of the chief priest soldier there. Now, that to me sounds like a dude who's ready to back up what he has just said, wouldn't you think? It's like, all right, man, Peter is going to be that guy. He's going to be that stand-up kind of stay-by-me guy. Now, I want you to think about something else as well. These soldiers saw one of them lost his ear temporarily. Remember, Jesus put it back on. If somebody cut my ear off, I think I'd know what they look like, don't you? Now, I want you to hold that thought for just a minute. There was a crowd of soldiers around there. There were people around that saw what had taken place when Jesus was taken into custody. You know, all of a sudden, you know, Peter lops off an ear. Jesus puts it back on. Jesus goes peacefully with them because of the arrest. Now, drop down to Luke 22, verse 54, and it says this, having arrested him, now this is after Jesus has been taken into custody, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now remember Peter, I'm with you the whole way. Peter is, it's probably not going to come out right, but I'm going to say it anyway. Peter's like a lot of us, he's nosy. Peter wanted to know what was going on. Peter didn't just take off. Peter didn't just leave. Peter wanted to see what was going to happen. So he followed them as they took Jesus into custody. But notice how he followed them from afar, from a distance. At this point, Peter is kind of distancing himself. You know, before he was right there. He was cutting off ears for the cause of Jesus. And now he's walking at a distance. Now, part of the reason I want us to understand this particular passage today is because we find ourselves oftentimes in the same position as Peter. There are times when it's easy to sit around in the house of the Lord and say, oh, yes, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Lord, I'll be with you the whole way. But then what happens is we step out of the comfort of being among the brethren. We step out into a world that hates Jesus, and then what happens is often we can find ourselves following Jesus, but following from afar. In other words, at that distance, Peter wasn't necessarily going to be identified with Jesus. Y'all getting what I'm saying now? Verse 54 says, but Peter followed at a distance. Verse 55, now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was among them. In other words, you know what? I guess it's getting a little chilly of the evening. We're going to sit down. We're going to have us a little bonfire. You know, we're going to be able to warm up by the fire because it's getting a little cool. All are welcome. I mean, these people didn't necessarily all know each other, because what does the word tell us? Who joined them? Peter. Peter goes up and he's probably up there going, ooh, ah, that feels good. Good to warm up a little bit. He thinks he's completely anonymous at this point. And I love verse 56. It says, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. Now, I can picture what's taking place. This is probably a very young girl. And she's sitting there. She sees Peter around the fire, and she's probably up there maybe with her family. And all of a sudden, she's kind of looking around. She's like, You know how you do that sometimes? You ever looked at somebody, and you're sure you know who they are? You just can't figure it out. You ever, and then what happens is you wind up getting busted staring at them because you've got that bewildered look on your face. You're like, oh, it's kind of creepy, really. And then, yeah, it's almost like sometimes they catch you and they're like, can I help you with something? And then you're forced to say, I think I know you from somewhere. Sometimes you can put it together, sometimes you can't. Bottom line was, a little girl was staring at Peter. Because notice what it said. It says, looking intently at him. That would have probably been a little uncomfortable, but hey, she's only a little girl. What does she know? So looking intently at him and said, you know how kids are. Kids will say stuff when you don't want them to. Okay? So this little girl, as she's staring at Peter, all of a sudden, she makes a statement, latter part of verse 56. This man was also with him. Now that leads me to believe that Jesus is also the topic around the fire. Hey, did you see that large military presence up the road? Did you see him walk this Jesus of Nazareth down here? Man, I'll tell you one thing, it must have been a whole bunch of soldiers to get him. I don't know what it was like up there. Have you heard what's going on? Can you tell me what's taking place? They were probably talking about it, because she didn't have to specifically point out the story of what's going on. All she said was, this man was also with him, and that's a capital H, meaning with Jesus. She just pointed Peter out. And she just called Peter out, didn't she? Well, you think Peter, remember Peter's big comments to Jesus. Everybody else might turn their back on you, but not me. I got this. I will never turn my back on you. Now, let's go down to verse 57. A little girl, y'all, has just called him out. And yet here is Peter's response to that in verse 57. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little girl. Big, bad, gonna cut your ear off Peter, just denies Jesus to a little girl. Wow. What happened to the Peter at the Lord's Supper? What happened to the Peter that just earlier was willing to stand up and defend Jesus? Now, here's where I think it becomes very applicable to you and I today. Because sometimes we find ourselves in Peter's shoes around the Last Supper, and I think sometimes we find ourselves in Peter's shoes around the campfire. I think sometimes we find ourselves ready to go to battle for our Savior, and sometimes we find ourselves around the campfire denying him. You know what they say in real estate? A lot holds true in spirituality as well. Location, location, location. It was easy to sit back and say all of these things about and to Jesus when you were with all of the brethren who love him, right? It's easy to sit back and talk about how much you love Jesus in the confines of the church. It's a whole lot different when you walk out into that world and all of a sudden you are outnumbered by those who don't love Jesus. And Peter flipped, didn't he? Oh, Peter, I'll be there for you, Lord. Now all of a sudden denies Jesus in the face of a small child. And that was denial number one. Remember, he's going to deny three times before the rooster crows in the morning. He's not off to a good start. I mean, literally, this has just happened since they've led Jesus essentially into town. And Peter's warming himself up. He's already got strike one. Well, let's pick it up in verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." Once again, Peter is being called out. Peter is being pointed out by those who had seen his activity with Jesus and knows who he is. Yeah, did Peter sit back and go, "That's right, you did see me with him. And if you got something to say about it, say about it now." No, that's not what Peter said. Look at verse 58 and the latter part of verse 58. After he was told, "You also are of them," but Peter said, "Man, I am not." Swing and a miss, strike two. The second time he has denied him. And I mean, these people like, look, they came right out at Peter. A little girl and then another guy. And so far, Peter's got two strikes on him, and he is batting zero. The guy who said, "Jesus, I'll always be with you." In verse 59, get this. This one gives you the time frame. After about an hour passed, another confidently affirms, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Now, I want to pause here for just a moment because there's something I want to interject in this particular scripture. They not only had seen him, seen Peter with Jesus, but there was also some attributes of following Jesus that people could see. Guess what? There are attributes of following Jesus that people see in you and I today as well. You see, people should be able to look at how we live our lives for the Master and be able to say, "You're one of His." I love it when people say that. I can remember there have been several times in my life where, you know, we've been in circumstances or situations and somebody just out of the blue that I don't even know says, "You're a Christian, aren't you? You're a believer, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I sure am. Are you?" And most of the time they are. You know why? Because basically what was going on was that our spirit was bearing witness one with another, just as the Word of God says. There have been some times when it's been a situation where I should have been upset or mad with somebody, and the way that I handled the situation, they said, "Hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? You're a believer, aren't you?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I am." You know what they said? Well, I mean, a couple actually said this. They said, "Yeah, I knew that because nobody else would have handled this situation the way you did. They would have been mad. They would have been cursing. They would have been flailing. They would have been yelling and screaming. But you didn't do that. There was something we saw that was different about you in the first few seconds." And I loved what this little lady said. She said, "And I knew it wasn't you that we saw. It was Jesus that we saw." I was like, that is way too high praise for this country boy. But thank you. Thank you. Look at Peter again. He is being called out. People saw that he was physically with Jesus, but they also saw other attributes of Jesus in him. "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." I can remember one of the funnest things that I ever did as a youth pastor. You know how it is. You go with what you know, and I had just come from being a police officer, so I thought, hey, this would be a really cool idea. We're going to arrest all the kids. So I made up warrants for them, and the charge on the warrant was, Christianity and displaying a Christian attitude. And then I actually took a police officer from my church, and we went out to each of the young people's homes, knocked on the door, and served the warrant and said, here's the date that you're supposed to appear in court. First, you will appear for processing on this date at this time at a certain, and I gave the location. So then what happened was the first date, they all showed up, and what we did was we processed them. We took mug shots, this way and everything. We kind of put them through the system, and by the time we got them all processed, we talked about the fact that there is an identity that each and every one of us have. There's an identity that we put forth. There's an identity that becomes who we are. And listen, as a believer, if you are living a biblical worldview, let me tell you something right now. The world will know that you're a believer. If they don't, you ain't doing it right. Because it's different. A biblical worldview being lived out is different than what society touts today. How many times has an unbeliever said to you, that's not what believers do, and they were right? Even the unsaved people know how a Christian ought to be. So, we processed the kids, gave them a court date, and we literally took them down to the Guilford County Courthouse and took them in and tried them. I was the DA. I was a rough DA. Because I know we had a sitting judge, and I proved my case. The charge that so-and-so, have you not been seen and been involved in activities that put forth the name of Jesus? Were you not seen praying around the flagpole at your school? By the way, I have evidence, I have pictures. Man, I prosecuted them hard. Every last one of them. Then my judge said, I'm going to take this under advisement. He ordered them all back 1 week from today in that same courtroom, had them all stand up. And he had a nice, long, lengthy thing. You know what he said? He said, all of you all have been found guilty and you have been remanded to the custody of the Guilford County Jail. And they were locked up. Marched them over, put them behind bars. Now, by the way, all along the way, I was teaching biblical principles about that. I was talking about, in a situation like Peter had, would you stand up? Would you risk imprisonment? Would you risk your life? When they were locked up, I got to do a Bible study on Paul and Silas because they wouldn't let me lock them up without me. They locked me up with them. But if you were tried today, could you be charged with being a believer in this world today? Would somebody say there is enough evidence in your life to convict you of being a born-again believer and being a Christian? Or would you be like Peter? whoa. Look, man, well, I saw you go into Central Baptist Church. Well, look, man, they just have soft pews and air conditioning. That's the only reason I was there. I mean, they got nice people. I had a bad time at work, and everybody hates me, but if I go in there, somebody at least smiles at me and shakes my hand. That's why I was there. I wasn't there for none of that Jesus stuff. You know what? As funny as it may sound, the painful part about that is that's happening all across the world today. We're real good at being believers in the presence of other believers, but we're not real good about being believers on the other side of those entry doors. When people look at your life, would there be enough? Would a little girl sit there and stare at you and say, you're one of his? Would another woman sit back and say, yeah, you got to be one of his. Or the third one, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, get this, immediately while he was still speaking, meaning while he was still denying Jesus, the rooster crowed. I mean, I can imagine what it must have been like to have been in Peter's shoes at that point. He is adamantly trying to prove the point that he doesn't know who Jesus is. And when he hears that rooster, all of a sudden it's a reminder of what Jesus had said to him probably only hours earlier. Ouch. Ouch. The rooster crowed. Now get this. I don't exactly understand how this setting took place, but verse 61 says this, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. That meant that he was within eyeshot of Peter. That also, see, Jesus knew what happened. He knew the moment it took place. I don't think that Jesus actually was hearing the conversation going on, but he knew what was going on. He knew what Peter was doing, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Oh, man, that would kill me. Jesus has said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. No, I'm not. And then all of a sudden he does, and Jesus looks at him. Could you imagine the hurt? Could you imagine the betrayal? Now here's the sticky part. Every time we pull a Peter, Jesus is looking at us. Every time we get goofy in our spiritual walk, Jesus is looking at us. He's looking at you right now. And the Lord turned, verse 61, and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Folks, it's time to take a stand. I can promise you right now that the world doesn't like Jesus. Plain and simple, it doesn't. And if you're one of Christ's followers, then the world is after you as well. There will be verbal persecution that you will endure. There will be persecution that will happen to you, probably even happens in your workplace or where people talk about you. There will be sacrifices along the way that will happen to you for being a believer. There will be people who will no longer hang out with you if they know that you are a believer. You will not be invited to places where they go. You know what I say to that? Don't cry about it. Thank the Lord for it. I don't mean turn your back on those people. They're turning their back on you. But I will also say this. You be the person to stand up. You be the person that says, you know what? Thanks for the offer, but you know, I'm a believer and that would not be becoming of my testimony. I'll see y'all tomorrow at work. I'm not saying that you have to belittle people. This world, I can't even think of a way to describe it. We have just, it seems like we've digressed. We can disagree with each other on certain things. Remember what I've said before. When it comes to essential things, we need to be unified. But when it comes to non-essential things, we need to be diversified. You know what? I may enjoy a Coke and you may enjoy a Pepsi. I am not going to lose a friend over the fact that you like Pepsi and I like Coke. But doesn't it seem that that's what we've gotten to? Get them Pepsi people away from me. If you drink Pepsi, I can't talk to you. And we're just as bad. Well, I'm going to take my Coke and go over here with my people because we don't want to associate with y'all Pepsi drinkers. We have allowed Satan to divide us over some things that are as silly as what I just told you. You know, and I'd be willing to bet you, and I'd win, that not everybody in this room or watching online agree with me on everything. But guess what? I don't agree with you on everything either. But let me tell you what I do. I do still love you. And I'm not going to let non-essential things keep me from having the best relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ that I should have. Let's quit looking like the world. What do I want you to get from this passage today? A whole bunch. But one thing I want you to get is, if you follow Jesus, then you should look like him and the world should see that. If you don't, it won't make any difference. You just blend into the fabric of what society is today. You will be the chameleon in society. I heard an old country preacher tell me one time, he said, you kind of like an orange chameleon on a white background. I said, you know what? I said, I don't know whether to thank you for that or be upset about it, but I said, the way I'm taking it, I'm thanking you for it. He said, yeah, that's right, because you don't blend in with the world at all. He said, you don't even blend in with preachers. You still believe that an invitation's a good idea in a church service, and I do. You still believe that inviting people to come to Jesus is the right thing to do. You still believe that an altar call is a good thing. Yes, I do. Even in this town, back years ago, had one of our local ministers say at the community service, said, you broke all the rules. I said, well, I didn't realize we had rules, but yeah, I guess I did. How dare you ask somebody to come to Jesus? Well, that's what we do. Lord, have mercy. Let me put it to you this way. When I am with Jesus, and if you're still around and you have a pastor that doesn't invite people to Jesus, please promise me that you're going to get rid of them immediately. Okay? I didn't hear anybody say, I promise. Okay, good. Because then what you become is you become a social club. You become the campfire. I don't want no campfires. I got them at the house. I want to be a bona fide blazing Jesus church in the middle of Oak Ridge. And let me make this promise. When we are, the world's not going to like us. The world's going to try to, Satan is trying to pull us apart. And guess where he starts? He starts with the inside. He starts to pull you apart. He starts getting each of you mad with one another, and each of you sit back going, I don't like the music, and I don't like the preacher, and I don't like the pianist or the organist, and I don't like the person that sits in front of me. Mark's head's too big. I can't see around him. Yeah. Think about how dumb some of the things are, but is that not what happens? And those are the things that we hold on rather than coming into the house of the Lord to say, what did the Spirit say to me today? You want the litmus test? Let me ask you this. It doesn't matter what kind of preacher I am. What matters is this. And what matters is the Holy Spirit. And what matters is the Word has been brought forth. And what matters is, what did the Holy Spirit say to you today? If you had to go away from here and do a book report, what would you say? If you had to walk out of this place saying, this is what Jesus said to me, Roy L. Carter, today in the house of the Lord. And if you can't, then you're not listening. You're just showing up. Because the Word tells us that if we came looking for Jesus today, we're going to find him. The Word says he knows everything about our heart and about our life, and he speaks into it. And he does it through his Word. He does it through other people. You know what? I have seen people, I've seen the choir have a better message than the pastor. But you know what? The message got out. I've seen a conversation in an aisle that was more meaningful than anything else that took place that day for somebody's life. So today I ask you, what has Jesus said to you? What has the Spirit said to you? Peter went out and wept bitterly. Gosh. Now, I'm not going to leave it there. I could, but I'm not that guy. I want the whole thing. I don't like to be continued. You ever watch TV shows back in the day and they would say, to be continued? Didn't you hate that? Well, I'm not going to do that to you today because you already know the end of the story, but I'm going to tell you how the story ended, and I love this part of it. We'll get into it a little bit later, but I love what took place later on. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Do you feel like Peter still felt like he was part of the clan? Do you think Peter still felt like that he meant so much to Jesus like he had done before? Remember, he has just been face down by Jesus. He's just denied him. Jesus has looked him in the eye, looked him in the face. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe with all my heart, Peter didn't feel like he had any more place in Jesus' life, this world, or with the disciples. But let me tell you what happened later on, and you already know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. At the empty tomb, remember when Mary went down to the tomb, and the angel said this, the angel said, go tell his disciples. Oh, I love you guys. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Why do you think they had to include and, did Jesus include it and Peter? Probably because Peter felt like he wasn't part of the crowd anymore because of what he had done. He didn't feel like he was usable anymore in the presence of God and for the kingdom of God. So the angel said, you go tell his disciples, and oh, by the way, just in case you have an opinion, Mary, that includes Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen. You see, Jesus wasn't done with Peter yet, and he ain't done with you yet either. Good, proper Southern West Virginia grammar. He ain't done with you yet because you're still breathing. So my first question is this. Brad, you guys come on up, take your place as we have this time of invitation. I always like to tell you, it's not my invitation. It's not an invitation of Central Baptist Church. It is an invitation of the Father to deal with what he's put on your life today. The first and foremost question is this. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Does he call you by name? I'm not asking if you were a good person. Let me tell you something. I have spent more time in funeral homes and cemeteries and graveyards here over the past couple of months, and I don't care if I ever see another one. I'm burying people I know and people that I love, and I'm grateful that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we have, all of us have an appointment with the undertaker. That means you. And there's not anything in our lives that we can do to buy heaven. There's not anything that we can do to impress our way into heaven. You can't go to church enough to get to heaven. And I love to point out the fact that in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he called Lazarus by name because he knew him, but he called the rich man, because he didn't know him. He didn't know him by name. Well, let me tell you something. God knows my name personally. Does he know yours? Is your name written in that book of life? Now, some people are so confused. We mess people up. Listen, preachers even mess people up when it comes to salvation. And I want to say this, and I'm not going to belabor the point. We feel we have a process, and a process isn't bad. It's not something that's etched out word for word and step for step of how you become a believer in the church. The Bible doesn't say you go to Central Baptist Church and when the preacher gives an invitation, you go up there and tell him and then he prays with you and all is right with the world. No, but that is a way. That is a method. Because prayer is communication with the Father. You know, I don't want to ask this. How many of you all accepted Christ outside of the church? Maybe you were at home, you were somebody. Put them up high. Let everybody look around. These are folks who trusted Christ not in the church. Now, trust me, I'm not telling you not to be involved in the church. I'm telling you that the church is your next step so that you can grow in God's grace and you can be what God wants you to be. So that you can follow in believers' baptism. And no, you don't have to be baptized at the church. Man, I baptize people in rivers, oceans. He says, be baptized. Have you been baptized? Look, guys, you can't fool me. I get it. I know how it goes. A lot of times when we were younger, you know, we saw what our buddies were doing, and it was a cool thing to accept Jesus. So we went down and we talked to the preacher and we accepted Jesus. Only to find out that later on we hadn't really accepted Jesus. But back in the day, preachers were, boy, they were tough. You accepted Jesus in front of the church, you was going through them waters next week. Baptism. So we did it. But we didn't really trust Jesus back then. We did it later on. So let me ask you a question. Here's the one that always comes up, and I am going to give you the answer because in 32 years of ministry, I've had this asked so many times. Well, you know, preacher, I was younger. I didn't, you know, I thought I accepted Jesus, and I was baptized then. Then later on was when I really trusted Jesus. Does my baptism count from before? No. Because you are baptized following salvation. I take a bath every day. I don't get baptized every day. I take a bath every day. Now, listen, I'm not asking you to trust me. I am asking you to trust the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Because if you are one who needs to follow in believer's baptism, then you need to trust Jesus about the answer to that, not me. But I'll tell you this, we'll certainly baptize you and we'll certainly celebrate with you. And oh, by the way, baptism is not an element of salvation. It is an act of obedience following salvation. We're all good on that, right? So we're not trying to mess people up. I'm asking you, if you have a personal relationship outside of the church, outside of everybody else, with a holy God through Jesus Christ, his Son, has there been that time when you have confessed, Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior and I believe what Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross and through the resurrection, and Lord, I give my life to you. I believe. Save my soul. That's the handshake. That's you meeting the Lord. But he also says this, faith without works is dead. He wants you to start acting like a child of the King. To live by the rules. How many of y'all grew up and you had some house rules? They might not have been written down, but you had some house rules, okay? We have some, God's got some house rules. And you know what they are? Well, read them. They're in the Bible. Right there for everybody to see. That's the house rules. That's the rules of you as a child of the King. That's what his expectation is. And he has expectations. But I will promise you that following Jesus will be the best thing you ever did. It will be the most adventurous and most joyous thing you've ever done as well. And if you do it right and with the right people, it'll be the joy of your life to follow him. Have you trusted Jesus? Oh, he's looking at you right now. He's going, I'm going to get all of you. See, he's asking the question. Remember, Peter, I don't know him. And Jesus turned and looked at him. Well, I'm asking you, do you know him? And Jesus is going. Because he knows better. But I'm also giving you an opportunity today to know him. If you need Jesus in your life, whether you're here, whether you're online, ask him through prayer. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe in what Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, I promise you, listen, if you did that, he's like, you're one of mine now. But now it's time to get adjusted to living in the family of God. I kind of look at it like this, like an adopted child. You know, when you take them home, there's that first time they come into the house. It's the first time they pet the family dog. It's the first time they see their new room. Well, that's how we grow spiritually. But let me tell you this. You are certainly welcome in the family of God. And you got a big old family. We're goofy, but I'll tell you this. We'll love you. I promise. We'll love you. We'll walk with you through the victories. We'll walk with you through the valleys. We will laugh together. We will cry together. But by the grace of God, we will journey this life together until we see each other in the kingdom of God. I don't want anybody that I know to spend eternity in hell. I don't have but one message, and that's simply this: Jesus crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. But do you know him? If not, make today that day that the saints of heaven will rejoice because you gave your life to him. Maybe you're here and you're just like, you know, Lord, I'm screwed up. I have to say that a lot. I'm like, oh, man, come on. Help me. Dude, why am I Peter? Lord, I will never leave you. I don't know this guy. Come on, man. See, I get frustrated with me because God is gracious with me. And he says, come home. All ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling all sinners, come home. You've heard that, hadn't you? Listen, we're going to have our invitation hymn. If you've trusted Christ, if you need to be baptized, whatever God's put on your heart, I will be here for you to pray with you. If you need this altar, it is here. You can come kneel at the good old altar. You can leave anything you want to with the Lord, and he cleans it up right by the time you get up. He sweeps it clean. What will you do with what Jesus has put in your heart today? I beg you to do it right now. Don't let this moment get away from you. Do it quick, because we really only sing about one stanza. I'll just tell you now, don't wait for stanza 37 because it ain't coming. You already know what you need to do. It's time to do it as we stand together and sing hymn 321, The Savior is Waiting, You Respond to the Father.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart.
Your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to do business with God. That invitation hymn right there is a very special one to me. When I was 15 and surrendered to Christ, that's when it was. And I kept hearing that chorus. Time after time, he has waited, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Have you answered that call? Listen, do it right now. Don't let it get away from you. As you spend time with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, you're so good to us. And as we come to this time where we once again perform another act of worship, and that is giving back to you the tithe and the offering, Lord, I pray that as you watch, that you may be pleased with our faithfulness to you to return the tithe as well as the offering. Lord, we pray that as a church that you would give us the wisdom to use it in the most proper way, that we might see souls saved and people grown closer to you. Lord, bless the gift as well as the giver, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki, as always. And you know that it's interesting how songs will put you in different places and areas of your life. And that invitation hymn brought back some memories that just brought tears to my eyes, because I can still remember I was 15 years old and I was sitting in the back of First Baptist Church. I think it was on a Wednesday evening, because Dad had come in late for work, and we were going to church. Now, we didn't always come and sit out here. Not that that'd be a problem with it, but he would carry us in the back door, and we would be like behind the baptistry where we could hear what the preacher had to say. And of course, that had to be the Wednesday evening that God called me to ministry. And I was fighting that, and I had every excuse. Well, I'll tell you why I'm behind here. What do you want me to do? Go through the baptistry and hop over into the thing? I'll scare people. How do you, I'll just wait till later. And I couldn't do it. I had to go out of the building, and I went all the way back around and walked down that aisle that day and professed that the Lord had called me to full-time Christian service. That was when I was 15. I'm getting close to 60 now. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. God is good. and all the time. God is good. And I almost looked at that song as time after time he has waited. And I kept thinking, I was sitting there thinking, the Lord's going, time after time after time, I've told you what I wanted you to do. But yet he's patient and he is long-suffering. Let me give you a couple things and then we'll get you on out of here. As far as birthdays this week, we got several having birthdays. This coming Tuesday, Jeff Pickard. We want to make sure that Jeffrey is, if you get a chance, say a happy birthday to Jeff. Wednesday, Russell Wright is having a birthday. I think this coming Thursday is Jamie's birthday. Jamie Edwards, she's got a birthday this week or?
Next week.
Am I reading the wrong list? Huh? Let me read off the screen. Andy Avery will actually be having a birthday this week. Are we good on that one? All right, listen, be sure to let Andy, if you know Andy, let him know or wish him a happy birthday. Bill Gardner having a birthday on Tuesday of this week. Have we got any other ones back there, Travis? Oh, give me that. I got so many things to keep up with. Vicki handed it to me. Let's see if she handed it to me right. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Okay. April the 8th, Bill Gardner is having a birthday. April the 9th, Monica Queen is having a birthday. So be sure to hug her and hold her up on the way out. Andy does have a birthday this week, but that's April the 10th. And then Lonnie Raines also will be having a birthday on April the 10th. And then our very own Jimmy McDonald will be on the 12th. Did I get all those right? Fantastic, man. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. You give a preacher some other job to do, he ain't going to do it very well. Let me give that back to Vicki, if you would. But at any rate, that's what we got on the slate for birthdays and whatnot. I do know some things that we've got that are pretty much normal. D-Life Group. Kirk, can you facilitate that today? Okay, Kurt will facilitate it. So my D-Life guys, that's y'all just help him out. Bill, Mickey, you guys help Kirk out. I'm sure you will have a wonderful spiritual time together. I actually will have to be stepping out of here pretty much on the way out now. Most of you all know, please keep the Nelson family in your prayers. Peggy's celebration of life is today over at Kerwin Church. All those the visitations and whatnot start at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to have to breeze on out of here so that I can get that taken care of to be able to be back over here for the things that we have this evening as well. But 3:30, my Disciple Life class, Kurt, I will unlock the door before I leave here. Choir rehearsal, 4:45, just like normal. And then Awana, our normal time, 5:30. Guys, hang in there. We're just getting about the last couple weeks before we're off on summer break. But Awana's at 5:30 in the FLC. Tonight we'll have the adult Bible study with Pastor David in room 5 right down that hall. And then band rehearsal tonight at 7 o'clock or right after David gets done. I know we've got some folks that come in from out of town, so we'll just call it 7 o'clock p.m. We'll have that. Then on Monday of this week, Steve Kelly's D group will be meeting at 6 o'clock p.m. in FLC 116, unless that's changed. Y'all still meeting in... Oh, there he is.
We'll be here tomorrow night.
Here tomorrow night. Good to see Steve. He just got his knee replaced, seemed like a couple weeks ago, and he's here today. Isn't that great? God's good. It's kind of funny. When you're up here and you look at people, you look at a lot of people, but you don't see any of them. You know, I'd be sitting there talking about somebody sitting right in front of me, and there's Steve back there, but so good to see Steve. See what else we've got. Just as a reminder, ladies' connections, your next monthly meeting will be on May the 7th at 4 o'clock p.m. In FLC 116. And then the ladies' monthly breakfast will be May the 15th at Cagney's at 9 a.m. If you have any questions about any of those things, you can talk to Silk. I was just seeing if y'all were paying attention. Tim, I'm going to burn this thing. This thing's all messed up today. Okay, April the 10th. I tell you what, I'm going to quit, but I will say this. I know this is going on. There is a monthly, and I always like to say this, if you are a veteran, the Bethel Methodist Church over here on Hall River Road has a free breakfast every second Friday at 8:30 a.m. And there's a court. Bill has gone. And they have a lot of things there that are there that can help veterans from, they'll have people sometimes that will come in and talk about different veterans benefits, including VA type things and that sort of deal. If you have any questions about it, that's Bill. Wait, Bill. He can tell you about what goes on, but at any rate, that happens the second Friday of every month at Bethel Methodist Church. Now think of what I'm forgetting. I'm sure it's something. Continue to remember the Nelson family as they find a new normal with Miss Peggy's home going. And just listen, pray for us. I mean, our schedules have been crazy. They haven't been our own for the last 3 months. Like I say, we've had funerals and out of town. They just so many different things. Keep us in mind in your prayers. Region 5 disaster response training is coming up this weekend. Jimmy will actually have to carry the mass feeding unit to Clemens. That's where the training will be. And like I say, he and I had the privilege of running a tanker of water up to Burnsville. What day was that? Friday. Yeah. Like I've lost track of days. But at any rate, I appreciate all that Jimmy does. Steve's very involved. Kirk's very involved in disaster response ministries throughout the state. There's still a lot of things that have to take place. And this is our Region 5 training coming up this Saturday. I do want to encourage you. I dropped the ball on that. I wish I would have let you know training was coming up. It's like $40 for the training, but you can train in areas of feeding, chaplaincy, safety. There are so many different things that you can do to be a part of responding when help is needed in these different places. So now that I've messed up all the announcements, folks, if you're visiting with us, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. We love you. We appreciate you. Please, if you have a moment, fill out one of the guest registrations. You can get those in the lobby or in the pew in front of you. I would hang around and greet you, but long-winded preachers got places they got to be, particularly when it comes down to funerals. They may start without me, but I'm going to ask Pastor David if he would come up and see us off in a word of prayer, and we look forward to seeing you guys around tonight, either at the adult Bible study or at Awana.
One other thing, there's a note in your bulletin about a prospective trip to Myrtle Beach the week after Thanksgiving. If you're interested in that, sign up. That sheet's going to go away this week, and we're going to do something else if we don't get the right response. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for salvation that is made available to us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for your word that we study and talk about and get inspiration from as we come to this place week after week. Lord, take it and apply it to our lives. Help us to live our lives in a way that people will know we've been with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.